Welcome to the Who's He podcast with me, Phil.
And me, Scott.
And on this show, we're going to talk about Horror of Fang Rock, and in particular, the Season 15 Blu-ray release with the updated effects and everything as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, a little bit of news. But it's not really news as such, is it? It's we've just finished watching the new trailer for the next series of Doctor Who, or Season 1, whatever the hell you want to...
Season 15, whatever the hell it is,
exactly. But during the course of the afternoon, BBC have been sort of drip-feeding us the new episode titles.
Yes.
So before we talk about the trailer, let's go through the episode titles. So now it's been a change to what was been on sort of shown before on the internet, because the episode what we thought was going to be the episodes... have been out there, but they've changed the titles. And maybe they'll just placeholder titles, or they have just renamed them. Who knows? Who knows, actually?
Yes.
Or they were just a lot of old made-up rubbish before. Who knows? But now we've got official titles. So what have we got, Scott? You've been making a note of these as they've been coming out, haven't you?
Yeah. So if we start off in order, I just wanted to say the directors will be on like Twitter or X. I haven't written them down.
No, we just got the writers.
Just find out the directors on there if you want to know who's directing which story.
Okay, so what we got?
So for episode one, it's Space Babies by Russell T. Davis. So it's
okay, Space Babies. Well, we saw a little bit of that in the trailer. It looks like babies that actually talk.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I just thought of Father Ted with the spider baby.
Yeah.
And the hairy babies.
I just wanted to say, this is a very heavy Russell T. Davis written series. There's only maybe two stories with Russell T. Davis writing, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was going to be...
I thought that was going to be like four new writers.
That's what I thought as well, actually. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, okay, so we've got Space Babies by Russell T. Davis. What's the next one, mate?
Okay, so number two is The Devil's Chord by Russell T. Davis.
Right, well, now we know this is going to be the one with Jinx Monsoon in, and this is the musical episode.
The Devil's Chord, it sounds quite Devil's Chord.
Yeah, I think that's the only one that hasn't actually changed its title. I think that was already called that on the, the titles that are out there. I'm not looking forward to this one, because I don't like musicals in any shape or form. I think they're utterly pointless.
It's got a nice title though, The Devil's Chord.
It's got a nice title, but it's just going to be ruined by the fact it's going to be a musical, because I don't like musicals. I thought they're all...
It might not be a musical. It has the Beatles and stuff in it.
No, it is a musical. Haven't you seen in the trailer, and also the Disney trailer that came out a couple of weeks back, it's all song and dance numbers in it. So,
I've seen that song and dance a bit.
You saw it in the trailer. They were doing like a big dance number, weren't they? The Doctor was singing.
Oh yeah, now
Ruby
I
was
that.
Dancing and singing. So yeah, I'm not. That's the bit I hated about the Christmas special, was the little song and dancing in it.
The goblins were cute though.
Yeah, I just don't like musicals.
Okay.
So, have I said, Scott, I don't like musicals?
Plenty of times. Let me reassure you on that.
Okay, what's the next one then?
Okay, episode three is Boom by Stephen Moffat. And I just wanted to say, it's giving a very season 24 with these titles. You know, Space Babies, Boom. Season 24, you know, how you have like Diamond the Rani, Delta and the Phantom, and Paradise Towers. It's sort of...
I'm not getting that vibe
like
myself, actually.
Like, the title sound a bit season 24-ish.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
I'll take your word for that. I'm not getting that vibe.
So
I think this is the one everyone's really interested in. Stephen Moffat's back writing for Doctor Who rather than Russell T. Davis writing for Doctor Who for some reason. But okay, so yeah. So apparently this is the one, by all accounts are saying it's almost like a Doctor Light episode.
Very Ruby-based.
Ruby-based.
There's a lot of Ruby-based stories, because when we move down the list, there's... a whole
it's all very Ruby based.
About Ruby.
I know.
So,
I know. Okay, what's the next one, mate?
73 Yards by Russell T. Davis. There's people saying it's like 70. There's like it's going to be like this pub or something that's 73 yards from the church that Ruby was found, and there's going to be lots of snow in this new series that's related. And
all right. Okay.
Stuff like
okay.
That.
Fine.
But Russell T. Davis has said it's one of his best stories ever written. So let's hope we're in for a treat for that.
I think we'll be the judge of that, actually.
mean, yes, yeah, but
we'll be the judge of it.
We might be in for a treat. We might be in for a treat.
Okay, all right, what's the next one?
This one's it's got an interesting title. Dot and Bubble by Russell T. Davis.
Yes. Now,
that's
do you have any ideas what that might be?
Well, I was thinking, I've been watching live streams of people like finding out what they are, because I didn't even know how to find them until I came
to my live stream about someone
looking them. But they think it's about like cyberbullying and like cyber and like, no, oh, wait, I got a conspiracy.
Oh, go on then.
Not a conspiracy, but to do with the trailer. You know how you have that with like the giant slug creature that evolves people in the trailer?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
The slug. I think this is the slug story.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm guessing.
Well, Dot and Bubble are also types of printers. Dot matrix printer and a bubble ink printer.
Well, that's interesting.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's making a doctor's sort of old obsolete printers.
Fair enough,
yes, okay.
Okay, so now we have episode 6, Rogue, by Kate Harron and Bryony Redman.
That's right. Yeah,
that sounds quite interesting.
This is the Bridgerton story, isn't it?
Is it going to be like a three-part like finale then?
I don't know.
Lead into the next.
It might do.
Like Utopia.
This is the one that's got. I can't remember the actor's name. Actually, I do apologise, folks. I didn't really prepare for this.
No, like the MP guy that was wearing blue.
Yeah, yeah. It's what people are saying. This is actually Captain Jack.
No.
And he's been recast as this new...
I can't think.
I think people are putting two and two together because he's an American actor. John Barrowman is Captain Jack's an American character. So I think that's what people are coming up with there.
I don't really think it is, because they're trying to push away from the old John stuff Barrowman. To get new people.
They're trying to push away from John Barrowman more than anything else.
Yeah, but also trying to... Well, yeah. But yeah. They're also trying to get away from the old stuff and bring in new people and...
Well, you say that, Scott, because the next two stories, which I'm assuming is almost like a two-part, are going to have Mel in it, and Unit. So they're not really pushing away from old characters, are they?
They're sort of getting away from the old central villains that were like the Master, the Cybermen, the Daleks, have been like nearly every season, I'm guessing.
True. Well, we've got in the trailer, I don't know what episode it's in, but it's sort of like a universe-ending sort of cataclysmic event is going to happen, so which the Doctor's trying to prevent. So, who knows? Who knows, mate?
I think it will be like a Utopia situation, because with Utopia, it felt like a separate story to the two-parter finale, so I think it's going to be one of those type of things.
Okay, you could be right. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, so episode 7 is The Legend of Ruby Sunday by Russell T. Davis.
Okay, which I think was the one that was originally called Goodbye Ruby Sunday.
Oh, dear.
So I don't know if that sort of, it could have been a leaked one or just a placeholder, and they've now changed it. But the cat's out the bag, she's going, so.
Well, I mean, it's obviously that she's going to be going because she's not in season 2, but.
Well, you say that, I think she might turn up sporadically.
Maybe she ends up working for UNIT.
Who knows?
Maybe she'll die, maybe she ends up returning to UNIT.
And episode 8, the last episode?
Yes, so episode 8 is The Empire of Death by Russell T. Davis.
Okay, so this might obviously lead into that universe-ending thing they were talking about in the trailer.
It was like a John Pertwee story. You know how you have
season
8 story. Like, you have Colony in Space, Empire of Death.
Ambassadors of Death.
Yes.
Yes, there you are.
Thinking.
Empire of Death.
What do you think about the episode titles?
Well, they're there, aren't they? I can't really say much about episode titles. They're out there now.
Because
each episode title, for those of you who haven't seen it on social media, if you're staying off social media, each episode title was released with a little...
Every half an hour.
But during the course of this afternoon, which is Sunday, the 31st of March, each one was released with a little sort of very short, like 4 or 5 second little video, wasn't it, with the episode title.
I think
it
started at 2:30 and then... Half past five.
So it was an interesting way to release them, wasn't it? A bit different. Then, of course, we had the trailer, which
wasn't on YouTube, funnily enough, or on TV.
No, it was on YouTube.
I couldn't find it on YouTube.
Yes, I found it on YouTube.
I did not get the good.
Yes, it was on the BBC Doctor Who Twitter account. No doubt it'll be on their Instagram account as well. But yes, it is on the official BBC Doctor Who YouTube channel. And it's, before we recorded this, I posted it to our Facebook group. So it's there if people would like to see it. And it is different to the Disney trailer. from a couple of weeks back.
I'm not that different. There's still some same clips in there, but they've sort of made it a bit longer.
Yes, indeed. Now, what did you make of the trailer? Now we're talking about it.
Did it
get you excited for Doctor Who?
It seems quite interesting. I think even though The Devil's Chord is a musical, it seems to be a bit sort of depressing, because at the end of in the trailer, you see Ruby Sunday crying, the Doctor looks like he's a bit depressed, and then they're all looking at like this destroyed Earth looking thing. So I think it's going to be the story arc, like Earth needs to be saved or something.
Again, yeah.
And then this guy's like trying to save it, but he ends up like hurting the Earth more, or this villain is, I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm guessing.
You're guessing, yeah. I don't know, I felt a bit nonplussed by it, to be honest. The trailer, it didn't really excite me, unfortunately. Probably not in the right mood, I'm not sure. But it just seems to be a bit of, it looks great. I mean, you know, they've obviously got a bigger budget now, but it's just the stories, what you've seen, sort of like Ruby, and even the episode title seem to allude to that as well. It's all about the companion again. Well, we've done that already with Doctor Who. Maybe he's got to put a fresh spin on it this time, but...
It just seems like, because in season two you've got a new companion. In a way, it feels like it's a huge flashback to his original era. It feels like Rose and Martha again, because like Ruby Sunday's Rose and this new character's Martha. It feels a bit...
Well, we'll see how it goes, really. Yeah, yeah. Who knows, mate?
And then we'll have another Donna come back.
We just had Donna, so they can't really do that again quite so soon, can they?
Yeah. It depends how long Shooty Gat was staying. If you enjoy the season, you might enjoy the rest of Shooty Gat is wrong. It might be 2 seasons, 3 seasons, 4 seasons.
Who knows,
seven
mate?
Seasons, who knows?
Who knows, who knows? But yeah, unfortunately, I left a little bit meh with this one. But never mind. But I dare say, yeah, it's... there's some people out there going to enjoy the trailer for everything it is and get really excited about it. And good for them, actually. Unfortunately, I'm not saying I'm not excited, but I'm not...
You prefer classic Who?
No, it's not even that. It's just I just watched it and I thought, okay. I didn't feel anything about it, to be honest, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. There's only 2 returning writers. There's 2 returning writers for the season and 2 new writers for the season.
I was expecting a few more new writers, if I'm honest.
It'd be nice to expand the Russell T. Davis writing, but maybe it will happen to season 2 or season 16.
Who knows? Obviously, he's got a vision for it, hasn't he?
He's got it all planned out, which is quite good. He had it all planned out before he even came back, I think.
That's what he said. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But hey ho. So there we go. Anything else you want to say about it, really?
I don't think so. But to me, what would you think is... To me and you, what do you think sounds like the most exciting story?
It's difficult to tell, really. I think, was it 73 yards? Because
yes.
the graphic they showed is on when they released it on Twitter, it was of a pub sign. And it gave me, for some reason, vibes of American Werewolf in London with a slaughtered lamb. You don't know what that is, do you? But
no.
It's the name of a pub they take shelter in. The slaughtered lamb. I don't know why, just the way it was shot gave me vibes of that for some reason. So, so I'm quite looking forward to that one. It interests me the most, anyway.
By the thing.
Yeah. What about you?
To me, probably Rogue.
Rogue.
By the sound of it, Rogue. The Rogue. You know, it's just simply just Rogue. Rogue.
Yeah. Well, Captain Jack's a rogue.
Oh, God. Stop starting this up
again. I'm perpetuating the rumour. There we go. But
Empire of Death sounds good, though. I have to admit, that's probably...
The season finale, one. Yeah. Let's just see what happens with that, or if it's going to be another magic ending like we had with Parting of the Ways, where all of a sudden Rose was this all-powerful thing that swallowed the time vortex.
If that happens again, I think...
That didn't affect her anyway, but caused the Doctor to regenerate. So, yeah, okay.
Made no sense.
I never made sense of that.
That story ended by them kissing and then he just died.
Anyway. So that's that. I think just one last thing to mention is that there's a long sort of stand-in. One of the last Dalek operators from the original series of Doctor Who, Si Towne, has sadly passed away at the age of 93.
Ooh.
So I think he'd been in Doctor Who before that, but I think his first Dalek story was like Frontier in Space, and he went all the way through to Remembrance of the Daleks as well. So he'd been there for quite some time. He was the last original Dalek operator to survive, but he played other bits and pieces in Doctor Who as well. He was a gel guard in Three Doctors. He was a herbivore in
Curse of Fenric.
Yeah, so he'd done loads of different other bits and pieces through Doctor Who. But 93, but...
That's a good age.
Yeah, so we're just going to tip our hats to Cytown. There we go. So you can't see it. We just tipped our imaginary hats to Cytown.
I hope you rest in peace.
Indeed. So that's it for the news for this week. So coming up next, Scott and I will be talking about Horror of Fang Rock.
What's this all about, Doctor?
Survival, Colonel.
Survival?
Yes, yours, mine, all of us.
Oh, this mysterious beast that eats lighthouse keepers.
Do you find that difficult to accept, Colonel?
Oh, come, Doctor, I'm a man of intelligence, of education.
Quite so, and I don't believe in mythical sea creatures either.
Then why do you suggest that we're in danger?
Because somewhere out there is a hostile alien from a distant planet. And I believe it intends to destroy us.
A hostile alien from a distant planet?
Yes.
You call yourself a doctor? Well, that's the most insane suggestion I've heard in my life.
Doctor, I cannot find the cowardly one.
I've never been more serious, Colonel. We are facing an enemy of greater power than you can dream of.
So what you just heard there was a clip from Horror of Fang Rock, which Scott and I are going to be talking about right now. But for long-term listeners of this podcast, you may remember that Paul and I actually covered this story some years ago when we did the Target novelisation to TV version comparison. However, this time, a little bit different because we've just finished watching the version on the Season 15 Blu-ray, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Which has the nice new special effects on it and everything. So, but not only that, this is actually your first time watching this story anyway, isn't it? So, I think before we get into like the little differences made with the updated special effects on the Blu-ray, what did you think of it?
It was good, quite dark.
It was, wasn't it? It was.
Very, very. Not like to the extent where there was like blood everywhere or that type of dark, like just dark, like it was set in a dark area. In a dark place.
It's a dark story because everybody dies in it as well, don't they?
It's set in a lighthouse and the horn going off like, every 10 minutes. And then you have the boiler room, which makes the boiler noise.
I know. The thing is, I've only heard an actual foghorn once, and I was about 12 years old. We went away on holiday to Devon. Sorry, folks, a little trip down memory lane here. But it's the day we got there. It's a place called Lee Bay on the North Devon coast. And when we got there, it was a really, really grim, foggy day. And I'm not actually sure where the lighthouse was, but you could hear the foghorn going off. And it is one of the most creepiest sounds you can hear because you don't know where it's coming from. It's just in the air when you hear it. And it's really quite loud as well. It doesn't sound quite like the one in Horror of Fang Rock, but I can understand why you found it creepy because hearing a real one, it is creepy. It's a very, very strange noise because when there's fog about anyway, it tends to deaden the sound a little bit. So when you hear that cutting through, it's really strange. So I've always loved Horror of Fang Rock. I think it's one of my
comfort stories.
Well, it's one of my favourite stories. Yeah, it is. It's not just one of my favourite Tom Baker, or the favourite out of season 15. Though I think it probably is the best one out of season 15. That and Image of Fendal, but. I love this one. I think it's really, really great. And it looks really great as well. Just the way they did the sets look fantastic.
The Rutan looks better.
The Rutan definitely looks better now. Because one of the other things what we... You haven't looked at the making of, have you?
No.
On the Blu-ray. Well, it's really interesting and quite ingenious how they did it because the sets for the lighthouse were all like... I think they said it was about 4 or 5... different sets in the studio, so it's only like a short staircase they come running down, then they film it for a different angle and have them running down the staircase again, so it made it look like it was bigger than it actually was, and they're only like a few feet above the ground as well, even though at the top of the lighthouse, it was only sort of like about 3 foot above the ground, really. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really, really well done, really sort of well designed. I think that's absolutely fantastic. But what I think is the best thing is the Rutan in the original version. We'll come on to the updated version in a minute, because the original version was just a lump of frozen Swarfiga.
And jellyfish, like a jellyfish.
Well, it was. Do you know what Swarfiga is?
No.
It's like a jelly stuff that you clean motor oil off your hands with.
Oh.
So what they did, they found they could freeze this stuff, and the actual monster itself was never on set. It was superimposed in afterwards, and it was only really tiny. It literally was like a blob of Swarfiga they filmed, and then when you see it sort of killed at the end, and it sort of slithers down the stairs, that's basically melted Swarfiga. So I'm considering it was taken up to Pebble Mill Studios as well. It wasn't filmed at Shepherd's Bush at BBC Television Centre because there was a strike. So the whole production went up to Birmingham, to Pebble Mill, where they weren't geared to making that kind of thing. And I think they made the best that they could. They gave it their all to do that story, including the monster. Everyone said, oh, it's rubbish, he looks rubbish, but... Because all they had to do, all they had to do at the time, or the money they had, because it was a tight budget, they weren't a special effects driven studio like they are in BBC. They didn't have the special effects guys like Matt Irvin and so on. So I'll give them a lot of credit, to be honest.
They didn't have a special effects guy for the story.
Well, they did, but not to the level they have at BBC studios in London. So this is because it was filmed in a completely different part of the country.
Is that why it looks almost better than...
Well, it makes you wonder, really, doesn't it, what they would have done with a different crew. I think it looks really, really good. I really, really think they've done a fantastic job on this one, and everything just looks really sort of its time. But I mean, you haven't watched sort of many sort of BBC costume dramas, have you? Because they're always very good at doing that, getting the period set in. And everything like that.
Ooh, have I watched any? I don't think so. Apart from The Time Warrior, if that makes.
Yeah, yeah. What I mean is the BBC. The BBC in the like 60s, 70s, and 80s used to make a lot of costume period dramas. So they were
historicals.
Good. Historicals, yes, they were good at doing that sort of thing. And basically, this is what this is with an alien invasion thrown into the mix. So I think it's really good. I think all the performances are good. I think, what do you think of Ruben? He's creepy.
He is creepy.
So he does that smile when he comes down the stairs into the boiler room and what's him, Harker, asks him, you're right, shit, mate. He does that really creepy smile. Yeah.
It's like he's seeing the last piece of chocolate cake in the house. He's like,
Yeah. Maybe that's his motivation was. Someone showed him the last piece of chocolate cake and he gave that smile. Oh, dear.
Truly but, is.
yeah, so, but no, I think it's a great story. And I think, what do you think of the Doctor in this one? Everyone says that the Graham Williams, because this is the Graham Williams, he was the new producer of Doctor Who, of those of you who don't know, took over from the great Philip Hinchcliffe. Which is a period Doctor Who I absolutely love. And this is almost like a holdover from that period because it's still almost like a gothic horror, isn't it?
They're just sort of figuring out what they want to do with it. And I think season 15 is quite experimental.
Well, considering this was... The Horror Fanrock was a late-minute change to the script because they were going to do a vampire story. And they were asked to change it because the BBC were just about to do their own version of Dracula.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
You heard of that one, haven't you? Yeah, which starred Louis Jourdan. If you haven't seen that, people at home, it's very, very good, actually. It's probably the closest version to the book, I think, actually. It's really well done. So they asked us, we can't have another vampire story. So they come up with this, which I think is, considering how it was done in a rush... Done in a different studio. I think it's fantastic. I really do. I absolutely love this story. It's brilliant. Now, the Doctor. Now, everyone says, the point I was going to come into, everyone says Graham Williams' era of Doctor, Tom Baker gets silly.
Not in that story.
Definitely
no.
Not. No, this is sort
but
of.
Then again, they were only just figuring it out, his behaviour that they wanted with his era. So
yeah,
I suppose
they
didn't really know what they wanted.
This is sort of like Pyramids of Mars style Tom Baker, who's deadly serious and he takes the threat seriously. And anyone who's there, he can't take any nonsense off anybody. He doesn't in this one at all. I love his sort of put downs to people.
I quite like his grey coat. It's quite dark. You know,
his costume.
Grey version, his costume.
Yeah, the grey frock coat and everything. Yeah, and the matching trousers. And I don't know what material it is. I don't know. It's like a rough sort of tweedy sort of thing.
It wasn't used for more stories.
With the corduroy cuffs. I love that coat, actually. But I think it's wonderful. I absolutely adore this story. I really do. So I'm glad you were, because we watched it over four. We were going to watch it over four nights. We managed to do Monday and Tuesday, and we had to skip a couple of nights, didn't we? And then watch the final two episodes in one go. But which was good. I really enjoyed. I enjoyed sitting there watching it with you, mate. It was a really good one.
Lord Palmerdale.
So what do you think of all the other people? Because you got annoyed at the Adelaide character, didn't you, with her constant screaming.
Palmerdale, what do you think of this time?
Just like poor old Leela in this story, she was getting really exasperated with her.
Bang!
Now the slap around the face she gives her.
There's a story about that one.
There is. Do you know about that?
Yes.
What is it then? What have you heard?
I think the actor found the character was annoying.
And herself,
was,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
And was like, oh, give this character a great big slap in the face. And Louis Jameson was like, okay. And then when it came to that, she basically did this. Sorry, but she actually just did a...
Yeah, she did. She did actually slap her. Yeah, she actually didn't want like a fake stage slap. She actually said to Louise...
She wanted a bang.
Yeah, she said to Louise Jameson, actually hit me, actually slap me, because otherwise it doesn't look real. And yeah, it was... Yeah, I don't know if they'd be allowed to get away with that now. I really don't know, but...
Yeah, it was good. And the way she rolls her eyes when she...
She faints, doesn't she? And she just rolls her eyes.
She keeps pushing her back into the chair and she's like, oh, be quiet.
I think it's brilliant. Absolutely.
When she dies, it's like a... It's relief.
What, when she dies, everything? Yeah. I must admit, that's a weird edit when she gets killed off by Reuben. Sorry for spoilers for people who haven't watched it.
She sort of appears and like, ah!
Yeah, because 1 minute Reuben's the other side of her, and then in a minute he cuts back and he's got hold of her, so without him really moving too far away. But it's a bit of a weird edit, that one. But
how did he get there?
I don't know.
He moved.
Yeah, but I think it's I think it's really good. You did get a bit annoyed with that character, actually. I think the Lord Palmerdale character is, well, he's a sneaky, horrible person. What you hope gets bumped off, actually, because he's
first one gone, actually, out of all of them.
I don't know.
Harcroft. Is it Harcroft?
No, it's Palmerdale's the first one out of that lot to go. Yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah, he gets sort of pulled off the top of the lighthouse, doesn't he?
Bye.
But I think it's I think all the characters are good in this. The one that didn't really deserve to die was Colonel Skinsale, really, who just greed got the better to pick up the diamonds that the doctors tossed on the floor, and Rutan got him, which I think was a bit of a shame, really.
And Vince didn't really.
Oh, Vince didn't deserve it. Oh, really, did he? No.
Nah, he was nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring back Vince.
Oh dear, but no, I like Louise Jameson in this as well. I think she's brilliant. I really do think she's absolutely marvellous in this. And her face when the doctor agrees with her idea to use the lighthouse as a like a laser beam. And he just said that's a brilliant idea, and the look on her face, that big smile, like, oh, brilliant. It's like, I think that's great. That. Yeah. I think that's absolutely excellent. But it's maybe me talking, Scott, to know about what, I mean, what else do you like about this story? What else do you like?
Exactly what you've been saying.
Oh, fair enough. So the updated special effects then, because there's quite a few, and they're quite sort of subtle, aren't they, really? But you've never seen the... Have you seen any of the original version before?
Clips, maybe.
Just clips.
The clip of the Rutan.
Well, yeah, because it...
You don't actually see its legs, you just see its little blobby head.
Yeah, well, in a few months ago when they did the BFI show in Horror Fang Rock, which was this new updated version, which we didn't get tickets to see, or we could, or I couldn't go. There was some reason why we couldn't make it. But anyway, The Rutan now is a puppet, an actual puppet. It's not a CGI. I think they've had a few embellishments to it because it sort of head pulsated, didn't it, when you saw it on the staircase. But so it's an actual puppet, which they bought to the BFI to show. So I was thinking maybe that's the only change. But no, they've updated just about every single effect in this as well, and some of the model shots.
Like the spaceship.
Yeah, well, the spaceship at the beginning has changed when the Rutan crashes. that's changed. The TARDIS landing looks better now as well. That's another model. I think it's actually an actual model. The lighthouse has been updated as well, model-wise as well. And I think when you first see the lighthouse, the light going around, it looks a bit more. The beam sort of cuts around in the fog a little bit more than it did previously.
Yeah, the sea's still not moving though.
Yeah, there's still sea. Yeah,
it's the
sea.
Flat.
Yeah, the sea wasn't moving.
You think it would be like noises in the background of it splashing, but no, it's just.
Well, then there's noises of the sea, but the backdrop is just, it's completely calm. It's just like a painting in the background, but they can't change every little thing in this really. But they haven't got a lot of money to play around with, have they? Let's be honest. So the other thing was the, what else was it? Oh, yeah, the ship crashing on the rocks was changed. You get more of a, that's more CGI, that one though, isn't it, rather than a model. In a funny way, I kind of prefer the model in the original version, because in that you actually see the wood smash on the rocks. You see the whole mate, but in this one you don't. It sort of crashes behind rocks and starts to sort of list over a little bit. So I do actually prefer the, in a funny way, the original one. But I suppose trying to do that on a cheap CGI budget, that's wood splintering.
You should have asked Lord Palmerdale for his diamonds.
Yeah, exactly. I asked him for a bit of cash, a bit of a cash injection, exactly. But no, I think that would have been a little bit too much for the budget, I think, possibly to do that. But I think it looks okay. But as I said, in the funny way, I prefer that. People getting electrocuted has been updated as well. It looks more like electricity flowing through them rather than just sort of like coloured lights going off, silhouetted around them. That looks a bit better. There was something else as well. And also Reuben.
His head splits in half.
Yeah, exactly. Because before it was just sort of, it was like...
coloured, like you said.
Yeah, it was like, how can I describe it? It's a bit like the Bohemian Rhapsody video by Queen. There's a bit in the middle when the special effects and it sort of blurs their image and it sweeps up like that. And so they've got rid of that. And Reuben now sort of glows, but he starts to sort of
split.
Like jelly. It's like jelly, isn't it?
Sort of, his head sort of splits.
Well, yeah, that's later, isn't it? When Leela throws the knife, he splits in half rather than it sort of disappearing through him like it was in the original one. So it does look better, actually, without. I bet some people have got a bit annoyed, how dare they change a single frame of original Doctor Who.
It's impressive how they did it, though.
I know. I'd like it. I don't mind some of these updated effects. It's got better, because over the years, they've done some, and they've not been that great. I think Planet of the Daleks, they updated some of the Dalek spaceship effects, and it didn't look that...
It looked worse, actually.
I actually prefer the original, because the CGI just wasn't up to it. Really,
no,
you didn't have the budget. Yeah, so I actually prefer the original for that one. But I think this is an absolutely fantastic job. I really do. I think it's wonderful. And then, of course, you've got the Rutan model as well, which I think looks impressive. Rather than sort of slithering up the stairs, it sort of stands on its tentacles now. It looks more alive than the other. I mean, much as I appreciate what they did with what they had to use to make a monster in the other one. Obviously now this does look better, obviously, but I think it's quite impressive, actually. At the end, though, when it's dying at the end, you see a big hole in its head and it's all oozing stuff and it sort of deflates like a balloon, doesn't it?
Imagine if you were actually acting with it the whole time. I think you wouldn't. It's not one of those like really terrifying monsters. It's one of those, you can have a laugh about, which is...
Well,
good.
You say that. I like the fact that it sort of impersonates other people. It turns into, you know, a bit like a Zygon in a
but
funny way.
But its main form is not scary.
No, not really. But what it can do is scary. Yeah, exactly.
To people, it's scary.
Yeah, you get anywhere near it and electrocute
it's
you.
It's weird how it can move bodies as well. And it's just little jellyfish creatures.
Well, actually, I think it's bigger than it actually looks. If you look at the model compared to the staircase, it fills the staircase, doesn't it? So I think it's actually meant to be quite big.
Big.
Yeah.
Bulbous head.
Yeah, it's got a big bulbous head, hasn't it?
Huge.
Yeah, but no, I think it looks really, really good. Actually, I think it looks really good, and I think, you know, and that's the thing about these updated ones. The original version is still on the disc as well. It's not just the updated one. That's what I love about these Blu-ray releases. You get
it's optional.
You get a best of both worlds, don't you? If you want the original, you've got it. You want the updated one, you've got that as well. And I think that's great. Actually, I really do. And I'm looking forward to watching some. That's the only one I've watched so far out of the season 15. Box set, because I want to watch them in order rather than sort of skipping.
Yeah, I want to watch them all.
The next one's Invisible Enemy.
Yeah. The only whole season I've ever watched of classic Doctor Who is season 25. I never watched the whole classic Who.
Was because you love McCoy.
Season, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I think I've watched... No, I haven't watched the whole of season 24. I haven't watched Paradise Towers. but
it's not a bad story, actually.
I've nearly got there. So it would be nice to finish a six-story season.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Marathon,
yeah.
Almost.
But the only other thing I've watched on the box set is the Graham Williams tribute.
Documentary.
Yeah, which is... It goes for about an hour and a half, and it's full of interviews and archive footage, interviews with his family now, like his wife and his widow. And his three children, who are now grown up with kids of their own, really. Mm. And it is actually quite sad, really. Mm. I mean, for years, I didn't actually know what happened to Graham Williams. I knew he passed away.
He just disappeared. I never knew he did.
No, I knew he died, but I didn't know what of or how. And obviously, he took his own life, which I had absolutely no idea about. And it really is quite sad, really, because the way he was treated by... Well, Arthur's really, because he left Doctor Who. He found it really difficult getting on with Tom Baker.
I think
Tom Baker made his life hell during that, to be honest. It's something that Lewis Jameson says in the documentary. He said he wanted to be a good producer, wanted to be everybody's friend. And you can't do that. To produce has to make difficult decisions and bawl people out if things are going on, keep things on track. And, yeah, it was. I can't remember which story it was. Fans that will know this, and it's on the documentary anyway, but the director of the story, I think it actually was something like Nightmare of Eden. The director, I think it was Alan Bromley, he just left. He just left the production. He had enough and he left. And that was it. He stormed out. Because of Tom Baker, really.
Tom Baker.
Yeah. And also I think Graham Williams. So Graham Williams ended up directing the rest of the story.
Even though he wasn't the director.
He wasn't a director, no, exactly.
But the poor man just had to do it.
Yeah.
He had to get that story out.
And he had a few sort of producing gigs after that. Because originally he was going to do Target, which was a crime series starring Patrick Moher, which, ironically, Philip Hinchcliffe took over to do after he left Doctor Who. So I think Graham was developing it. But then he got the Doctor Who gig and then Philip Hinchcliffe took it over.
So they basically swapped each other's jobs.
Basically, yeah.
And then
we're
going to watch it again.
Yeah.
Interesting, really.
So they did do a few... I think he did he did something like... I think his biggest gig after that, he did Super Gran, actually, which he loved, doing by all accounts. But then that got cancelled. And I don't think he really did much after that. And he ended up sort of running like a hotel guest house thing. And then he just, one day out of the blue, just killed himself. And there was no...
Was he stressed after Doctor Who?
No one knows. He had no outward signs that he was under any due stress or anxiety or depression. He did suffer from depression.
You couldn't tell, though.
But it's a horrible thing, depression. It really is.
One day you wake up and just think, oh, I've had
Yeah, you
enough.
Do. You do, mate. You do.
Not another day.
Yeah.
Again, the average person thinks that, but it's different for someone with depression. They see... Even though everyone thinks, it's another day, for them it's like another day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, another day they've got to get through or don't want to get through, as was Graham Williams' case.
It's another day, just get on with it. It's another day.
Yeah, and poor Graham Williams, he couldn't handle it anymore.
I do feel quite bad for him because of Tom Baker on set.
Well, do you know what? When there's a bit on the documentary, because Tom Baker, as he is, it wasn't done... Years ago, it was done sort of last year or this year, the interview. So it's Tom Baker looking quite old and frail now as he is. But he actually, he didn't realise how young, he was only 45 when he killed himself. And Tom Baker, when he just went, he was only 45. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Graham. I think he really regretted how he behaved.
Because he thought
Tom Baker thought he knew better because he'd done the role for so he understood the Doctor better than anybody else.
It's a shame because people say during like season 18 he looks tired, but I think it's because he was.
Well, he did. He wasn't well either because there was one particular point his hair went straight and they had to perm his hair. Because he was ill, his hair just went. The natural curl just dropped out.
Was he ill? What happened?
I don't know. I don't actually know what was actually wrong with him. But he was ill then, and I think that's. Do you know what? I don't actually think he wanted to leave the show, but John Nathan Turner wanted his own doctor.
Fair enough. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You can't always carry on with that same doctor. If he lasts another 10 years, you begin to think, oh no, not again.
I know.
You need to sort of move on from.
I know. We did it for 7 years, didn't he, Tom Baker? But. But that's the thing. In this particular story, Horror of Fang Rock, I think he's still that sort of alien quality to him before he gets all flippant and jokey. But he was told, Grumman's was told to do that. He was told to lighten it up a little bit because during Philip Hinchcliffe's era, which was quiet, it was all about gothic horror.
And dark and murder.
Dark and quite violent. And this story's still quite violent. I mean, you know, it's the only Doctor Who story where everybody dies. Don't they? It's only the Doctor and Leela are left standing at the end. And even people you think would survive to the end of the story don't, do they? They're
like
all
Vince,
the only one who doesn't I did say Colonel Skinset, but you're right. The only one who doesn't deserve it is Vince because he's just innocent amongst all of this, isn't he? So, yeah.
He just wanted to help.
Yeah, exactly. Just wanted to help. But I know. Anyway, getting back to this rather than talk about the history of Tom Baker and his and Graham Williams and everything. But no, it's what I've seen of this box set so far. It's amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. If you haven't bought it yet, do so because I think it's worth it just for the Graham Williams tribute.
And it's got some amazing artwork by Lee Binding.
Yes, it has. It's got brilliant artwork in it. Absolutely brilliant. So there we are. There we are. Anything else to add, Scott?
No.
Well, I think we're looking forward to just watching the rest of the stories now, aren't we?
I'm excited. Season 15 has some ups and downs and ups and downs.
Well, the next one's a silly one. Visible Enemy is silly.
Shrimp.
The giant prawn.
The shrimp.
But then you get Image of the Fendal again, which is dark again. It's almost like a follow-up to Horror of Fang Rock in a funny way.
And then it's the Sunmakers, Underworld and the Invasion of Time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of
hated. I think that's the order it goes. Anyway,
people say the Invasion of Time is just a big run-around.
It's a very strange story. It really is like the Sontarans appear out of nowhere. I think they were a bit of a late addition to the story, actually. But anyway, we'll get round to that one day, won't we? We'll get round to that one day. So there we are, folks. So I hope I haven't sort of spoilt too much for you if you haven't actually watched this yet. But we just wanted to discuss it because we just really, really enjoyed it, didn't we?
You can also find it, not on the box set, not just the box set, you can find it. You can find it on audio, DVD, Blu-ray.
What's that? Sorry, this story.
It's
on iPlayer, obviously.
Yeah,
in the UK.
Sorry, anyone that lives.
Well, no, it is on another streaming platform than the rest of the world.
For
the US and Canada, it's on a different streaming platform. I can't remember the name of it now, but
for Australia,
Australia. Yeah, they used to get it on. Australia, they had it lucky for years. They used to get Doctor Who on the telly, the old ones. They used to repeat it. And we're probably the only country that never did. Used to get it in Canada and the US. It was on PBS, Public Broadcasting Service. But they'd be shown out of order. But yeah, I mean, that's how a lot of Americans or North Americans generally got into Doctor Who. No, not really the books either. It was watching the reruns on PBS. So there you are. There you are. But anyway, I think we're just about done with this one, aren't we?
We are indeed.
So we'll be back soon. Not too sure what we've at the moment. There might be a Who's He at the Movies coming up soon as well. So I've got another classic horror film to talk about at some point. But I will let you all know when I've recorded it. So yeah, I've watched it. I've just got to record it. So there we are, everybody. So until next time then, it's goodbye from me, Phil.
And goodbye from me, Scott.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. You can download this podcast from iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, and through your podcatcher of choice. If you would care to leave us some feedback on iTunes, that would be very much appreciated. You can also find us on Twitter at @whose_he_podcast, on the Who's He Podcast Facebook group, and through our website, whose-he-podcast.co.uk.